423-4033.
On March 21st, Soviet Communist Party Chief Leonid Brezhnev made a speech warning the President of the United States to lower his voice on the subject of human rights. He, of course, received worldwide coverage. Indeed, we could all be excused if we thought that's all he talked about. It wasn't. He had things to say about the Middle East, and frankly, if a man biting a dog is more newsworthy than a dog biting a man, then the world press missed the real news in his speech. In introducing the subject of the Middle East, Brezhnev sounded as if a reconvening of the Geneva Conference on the Arab-Israeli stalemate might be in order. Then, speaking for the Soviet Union, which co-chairs the Geneva Conference, he outlined what his country considers essential to a peaceful settlement between Arabs and Israelis. He said, quote, "We hold in particular that the final document should be based on the principle of, now hear this, the impermissibility of acquisition of territory by war," unquote. He then went on to say that Israel should withdraw her military forces from all the territory she took in the Six-Day War back in 1967, and, of course, return that territory to the Arabs. This, to be sure, is one of the bones of contention in the present stalemate, and could raise among us Americans a question of why not? After all, we fought two world wars, were victorious in both, and never asked for or took so much as a square inch of anyone else's territory. But we'd be pretty naive if we applied that yardstick to Israel in the present situation. The real issue in the Middle East had to do with the Arab refusal to recognize that Israel has a right to exist as a nation. To give up the buffer zones Israel took in the Six-Day War could be to put cannon on her front walk aimed at her front door by those who said she must be destroyed. But let's take a look at those other words of Mr. Brezhnev. He's telling us the Soviet Union does not believe any nation has the right to hold territory seized by force of arms. Well, let's play what if. What if the United States said to Israel, "You give back that territory to your Arab neighbors, and we'll enter into a treaty with you, a mutual aid pact, that says if you're attacked, we come to your aid. Don't go away. There's more to come if we're playing what if." Then we say to the Soviet Union, by way of Mr. Brezhnev, quote, "You, of course, must get out of Latvia, Lithuania, and Estonia, which you seized by force of arms," unquote. And come to think of it, that means turning loose Finland, Poland, Czechoslovakia, Hungary, Bulgaria, East Germany, and Romania. As a matter of fact, there are some islands north of Japan and some territory in Mongolia you occupy only because you joined the fight against Japan 20 minutes before the end of the war. I don't think they heard a single shot fired in anger. And up till then, Korea was one nation. It only became a North and South Korea because the Soviets came in like a squatter and homesteaded the North half. Unfortunately, that was during a time when we were in that good old Uncle Joe mood, thinking Stalin was going to turn out to be the gruff old codger with a heart of gold. How about that? One sentence by Brezhnev in a speech on March 21, 1977, and if everybody, especially him, did what he said, peace would come to the world. This is Ronald Reagan. Thanks for listening.
Reagan in his own voice, brought to you by K-Brush Concrete. Anything to do with concrete, from a 5x5 walkway to a 500,000 square foot foundation. Call 423-4033.
KPRL presents Sound Off, the longest-running radio talk show in San Luis Obispo County. Sound Off on the North County's choice for local talk, KPRL. The views and opinions expressed on Sound Off do not necessarily reflect those of KPRL, its management, staff, or sponsors.
Sound Off on AM 1230, KPRL, and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Davis Body Shop, your auto collision specialist in Paso Robles and Atascadero.
This is Sound Off, where the North County comes to talk on The Right Choice, KPRL.
Well, good afternoon. This is Al Fonzie. Welcome to Sound Off today. You know, I've been accused of not having a sense of humor, so I want to throw a couple of curveballs at you here. I got a question for you, and I'd like someone to tell me, what's black and brown and looks really good on lawyers? I'm not going to give the answer. You give me a call back. And then there's the issue of baseball. You know, a lady told me this today, and it was really interesting, about two baseball players, a pitcher and a catcher, talking about the end of their careers and nearing the end of their lives, and just thinking, gee, I wonder if there's baseball in heaven. 2 days later, the catcher dies and goes to heaven. And they agreed previously, the first one that goes receives the other, goes back on the following Wednesday and lets him know in a dream what's the score. So next Wednesday, the catcher comes back and he says, okay, well, I got the answer for you. He says, you know, what is it? He says, well, first of all, yes, there's definitely baseball in heaven. That's the good news. And the pitcher says, what's the bad news? He says, you're pitching on Friday. So that being said, the lines are open, 238-5775. I'd like to know the answer about what's black and brown and looks good on lawyers, if you got a thought. Some other things here. You know, we've been hearing this week, we're getting about, what, less than 2 weeks now till the election, the end of the election season, which I'm looking forward to because I'm really tired of it. We'll start to find out what the future of this country is going to be, because you cannot have two candidates more different than what we have, two political parties going in two different directions completely. And right now, the word fascist, Nazi, racist, etc. is being bandied about. You got the latest smear against Donald Trump. You got a former Sports Illustrated model claims she was out on a date with Donald Trump 31 years ago, and there is some inappropriate touching on his part. And she said she was harassed. He was a guy named Epstein, the sex offender that got killed in prison, whatever. The bottom line is she had all these terrible things happen 31 years ago. Now, we're what, 2 weeks from the election, and all of a sudden she has this revelation. She has to come out and talk about this. Do you not think this is a calculated smear? One more piece of old news is coming back up. And why didn't she say anything to anybody in 2016 or 2020? Why is she waiting till 2024 to finally have the courage to bring this up? It's not that we don't believe women when they bring up accusations. Sometimes they're very valid, and we have to be able to believe women. But when they wait 31 years, and it's 2 weeks before an election, and it's, oh, yes, it's sponsored by the Democrats, okay, give it a rest. I think I'm tired of this, and it doesn't have any credibility with me. And whether it happened or not, I don't know, but I'll just say this. She waited too long to have any credibility with me. Bottom line, there's other things. Keep calling him a fascist. Does anybody out there really know what a fascist is? Now, we all think we know what it is. People think, well, fascists are those guys in, you know, black uniforms, you know, marching around and jackbooted thugs, basically goose-stepping around and yelling Heil Hitler and so forth. And, yeah, that was a form of fascism, but that wasn't the definition of fascism, really. Basically, political scientists will probably describe it as a... how would I describe this as? A secular religion, because there's no one single definition of fascism. Yeah, it has to do with corporations and government getting together. But the bottom line is it's authoritarian, virtually totalitarian in every single case. They use these kind of terms. They want to call you racist, sexist, homophobe, call you a fascist, because they don't want to talk to you. They don't want to have to give you the time of day. They don't have to engage in you. Whatsoever. It's something that's not desirable. You have no credibility. Just dismiss you. That's why they call people who have objections to the climate change narrative that's put out there, they call you a denier, as in you're a Holocaust denier. You're not a person worth engaging. We don't have to respond to you. We don't have to think. We don't have to provide any alternative facts because you're just not a good person and we don't have to listen to you at all. If you really want to know what it is, it is and always has been a phenomenon of the left, not of the right. It's obscured by the mistaken belief that fascism and communism are opposites. They're not. They're on the same square, basically, arguing for the same piece of territory. They're closely related. They have historical competitors for the same constituents. They're not looking at Republicans versus Democrats. It's Democrats looking for Democrats there. And they're seeking to dominate and control the same social space. And if you want to know more about fascism and the history of fascism in America, I'll refer you again to Liberal Fascism by Jonah Goldberg, published, I don't know, maybe 20 years ago. It's an excellent book. It goes all through the history of the progressive movement, its ties to fascism, to Mussolini, to history. That's right. The Democratic Party progressive movement's roots are in the American version of fascism that's coming out of the early 20th century. It's promulgated by President Woodrow Wilson, that great Democrat who segregated the armed forces and the civil service, who played Birth of a Nation, which glorified the Ku Klux Klan. It was the first movie like that, made in 1915. Played it in the White House. First movie to play in the White House. 3-hour-long movie glorifying the Ku Klux Klan. Basically, it was based on the 50th anniversary of the end of the Civil War, and he brought that out, giving the South's version of what Reconstruction was like for the South. But it was extremely racist. But that's where it comes from. Hitler and Mussolini both took their cues from Wilson. They took it from the American left. By the way, it was not a disreputable thing to be called a fascist or be sympathetic with fascism all the way through the 1930s. A good part of the American left, the European establishment, the American establishment, all thought fascism was a good thing. They thought Hitler was doing wonders for Germany that had been just a decade before flat on its back and ripped apart by chaos and violence in the streets, and the communists were about to take over, and Hitler put everything right and made the trains run on time. Of course, Mussolini did that too. It wasn't until Kristallnacht in 1938, when the Nazis really portrayed their true colors about how they really felt about Jews. They really meant what they said in Mein Kampf and all their other doctrines, that, yeah, they really were going to kill the Jews and everybody else they didn't like. And that all showed up in November of 1938, and after that it became less fashionable to be pro-fascist. Now, there's a smear out there by Hillary Clinton this week that says Donald Trump is going to recreate the Nazi Party rally in Madison Square Garden that happened in 1938. Now, there really was a rally of the American Nazis in Madison Square Garden in 1938, but it has nothing to do with Donald Trump or any other Republican or conservative candidate, because these people really were Nazis. They were German Americans, about 99% German Americans, sympathetic with Hitler, what he had done. They had camps. They had camps for children and things like that. They wore brown shirts. They had swastika armbands. They looked like little brown-shirted Nazis marching around the United States. But they're primarily German Americans, some non-Germans, but mostly German Americans who thought Hitler was a great thing. And that all came to a crashing end, not only because of Kristallnacht in Nazi Germany, but also because the hurricane of 1938 roared through their camp, which was located mostly on Long Island. There were 50,000 Nazis, I think, total, active Nazis in the United States at the time, and just obliterated the place. They never recovered from that, and they never recovered from Kristallnacht and the disgrace that came about. And, oh, by the way, and the leader of the Nazi party group that was there, I think he got a young one pregnant, and he raped her and did some other things. The bottom line is they were totally discredited. And, of course, by World War II, the Nazis were evil incarnate because everybody knew what they'd done in the concentration camps. But I know the Democrats are going to keep saying that that Trump is a Nazi. And, you know, I got to say, I came up with some information today that says that's probably true. And I've got some information. It's obviously indisputable. 9 ways Donald Trump is exactly like Hitler. And this came from the Babylon Bee. This is a really good newspaper, by the way. Okay, so if you watch CNN over the past 8 years, you already know that Trump is literally Hitler. But what you don't know is how similar both Hitler and Trump really are. Let's see. First of all, how do we know? Well, first of all, both Hitler and Trump, they wore pants. That's not a coincidence. Secondly, Hitler had a mustache. Trump probably could have a mustache if he didn't shave for a few days. So that's a really suspicious thing. Now, little side note on Hitler's mustache. He had a beautiful handlebar mustache in World War I until he had a gas attack. He couldn't get his mask to seal. And he said, I'm not going to have that happen again. So he chopped off his mustache on his lip. And it's been that way ever since. So now, if you go down a little further, if you rearrange the letters in Trump, the word Trump, T-R-U-M-P, by eliminating the U, M, and P, and adding H-I-L-N-E, it spells Hitler. Now, that's really getting kind of scary. This is a direct quote from the Babylon Bee. Here's one that's really scary. They both reportedly breathed air. I mean, that should tell you something right there, right? They also likely ate food to survive. Coincidentally, so did Saddam Hussein. So he's not only comparable to Hitler, but also to Saddam Hussein. Those of you born yesterday and don't know who Saddam Hussein is, go back and research 20 years. I'm sure some librarian will be able to tell you who it is. Hitler ordered his armies to invade Poland, while Trump ordered his armies to walk around the capital, our capital, taking selfies on January 6th. That's the exact same thing, right? Invading Poland, you know, taking selfies in the state in the United States Capitol, and they did some other bad things, true. I won't dispute that. Now, Hitler was also an artist. He was attempting to paint masterpieces, but Trump bested him on that. Trump appeared in a masterpiece, work of art. It was called Home Alone 2, Lost in New York. That was no accident. Obviously, he was asked to do so he did. And finally, here's the absolute proof, no questions whatsoever. The media constantly refers to both of them as Hitler. Case closed. Obviously, Trump is Hitler. Babylon Bee has proved it beyond a doubt. And we can all rest safely assured now that the Babylon Bee and the mainstream news media like CNN and Hillary Clinton as a source are taking good care of us. Now, she says that, according to Harris, They're saying that Trump's a fascist, a dictator. He's unfit for office. Well, what do we got to show for that? Now, let's compare her to Trump. Trump was in office for 4 years. He did not suspend any elections. He did not sic troops on the U.S. citizens peacefully demonstrating. He did not try to sabotage the Supreme Court or any other fair Supreme Court. And when you had all these demonstrations in the year 2020, he did not send federal troops in to shoot demonstrators down the streets, although some people might have wished he had, especially in places like Portland or Minneapolis, where many people were murdered by these rioters. This is what Harris did. Well, first of all, she supported the demonstrations of 2020, where 35 people were killed, where $2 billion in damage was done to commercial property and private property, 1,500 law enforcement officers were injured, 14,000 people were arrested. And she said that unrest would not and should not stop while drumming up support to bail out jailed violent protesters. He was part of getting these people back out on the streets. You got to let those Antifa protesters, you know, they have a right to tear any city down they choose to, just like they tried to do with Black Lives Matter in San Luis Obispo County, blocking freeways and things like that, keeping a pregnant woman in an ambulance from going to the hospital, locked up in a traffic jam on the 101. That's all okay, according to Kamala. Because they're just exercising their constitutional right. Then you have the Obama-Biden-Harris administration using the CIA and the FBI, at least part of it, upper management, I would suspect, to interfere in the 2016 and 2020 elections. Now, they had the fake Steele dossier, which was the source for this great Russian collusion plot. And for those Democrats out there who still believe that Trump colluded with Russians, and I think 62% of Democrats believe that, according to some polls. It was a federal court case about this, and in the court case it came out that this was all made up by people who were paid by Hillary Clinton and her campaign to smear Trump. And now, of course, there are no prosecutions on her side. You know, she's untouchable. She can burn 33,000 emails or take them out. They're being subpoenaed. That's okay. She can take servers and things like that and hard drives from computers and smash them, use bleach bit and everything else. That's okay because she's a liberal Democrat. She's part of the cause, and it's all right. She doesn't. Trump did not try to pack the Supreme Court. Now, he just went through the normal process. There were 9 justices that came up. There were vacancies, and the Congress were open there. The Democrats didn't like it, but he got to nominate 2 people for the Supreme Court who were confirmed by the Senate, even after the Democrats and the media tried to smear them as being, you know, related to the devil incarnate and try to destroy their reputations for alleged events that occurred 30 years before. He didn't do that. But what Harris does, Harris wants to pack the Supreme Court. Now, the last person to do that was Franklin Roosevelt as president. He was severely chastised by senators in the Democratic Party, who controlled the United States Senate, by the way, said, that's not something we mess with. Don't touch the Constitution. But she thinks packing the Supreme Court's a good thing because they won't do what she wants them to do, like trash the First Amendment. She wants to destroy the Electoral College, so only 4 or 6 states will determine who the president is, you know, on the East Coast, the West Coast, and maybe an enclave here and there in the center of the country. But bottom line is only the people that she likes and agree with her should have the opportunity to select the president, because if you get rid of the Electoral College, that's exactly what will happen. 6 states with their population and direct vote would basically determine who the president of the United States is, and it didn't matter how many people voted in Tennessee, Wyoming, Florida, or any place else, Texas, those people would be able to determine who the president is. She wants to get rid of the Senate filibuster. Now, what does that do? Well, right now, that's a break on extreme ideas in the Senate. The Senate is a deliberative body. It does things slowly. It represents the states as a whole. It's not a nationally elected office, but they say, okay, hold on, Mr. President, take your time here. No, just because you have 51 votes doesn't mean you can and control the House that you can do anything you want to do. And so they got to get 60 votes. The filibuster makes that harder for them to do. She wants to get rid of that. I guess she just doesn't like checks and balances on her powers in the executive branch. Now, you also, you know, you talk about the left and what they do. What is the Biden-Harris administration done? Well, let's see. They tried to disbar lawyers. They raided the homes of pro-life activists, you know, 5 o'clock in the morning, 6 o'clock, armies of FBI agents showing up. And of course, they say they didn't do that, except that's on video. They did do that. The Radiant Home is a pro-life activist. They spied on Catholic churches and a Justice Department's chilling speech by smearing parents who stood up to authoritarian school boards as terrorists. Remember the school boards that want to take kids and basically put them through homosexual counseling and transgender counseling and do all this without the parents being aware of it and just sneaking them off? You know, they already sneak little girls off to get abortions without telling their parents. They think that's okay. Don't give them an aspirin. Don't let them chew gum, because that's something you need a note from the doctor from, but they can get an abortion. We'll be back in a few minutes.
The customer service and workmanship at Davis Body Shop is first rate.
Jessica, who is a North County resident, talks about her experience at Davis Body Shop.
Lori, Eric, and Patrick were super helpful. Patrick did a great job ensuring that everything my car needed was done in an incredibly fast time. My car looks amazing inside and out. For body work and customer care, Davis is the best, and we would never take our cars anywhere else.
Davis Body Shop has repaired well over 80,000 vehicles since 1962, and today Davis is the longest established shop on the Central Coast. If you ever need the services of Davis Body Shop, remember, they are San Luis Obispo County's most honored, respected, and trusted auto collision specialist with two locations, on El Camino Real with a convenient enterprise car rental facility, and Davis Body Shop on Theater Drive at Paso Chevrolet.
Hi, I'm Wesley Dawes with Stove and Spa Center, and it might be hot now, but winter is just around the corner. So Stove and Spa Center is having a huge 36th anniversary stove, insert, and fireplace sale. We're overstocked, so don't miss out on big savings on quality cast wood and gas stoves by Hearthstone. How would you like being warmer this next winter and save money too? It's possible with a gas or wood stove from Hearthstone. Hearthstone's highly efficient wood and gas stoves come in many styles to fit any home's decor. Save big on Hearthstone stoves and inserts during Stove and Spa Center's big sale. All the products we offer are on our website at stoveandspa.com. Save big on Hearthstone stoves during Stove and Spa Center's 36th anniversary sale going on right now. Don't miss out on all the special offers at Stove and Spa Center. 7485 El Camino Real, Atascadero, between Curb Rail and Moore Roads.
Garage door jamming? Time to call Hammond.
Hammond Overhead Door Company has the parts and expertise to repair any overhead door. From replacing weather stripping or garage door spring repair to programming garage door openers, their service teams are available for prompt dispatch to your home or business. Quality products and superior service. Hammond Overhead Door Company. Call 238-0524 or go to HammondOverheadDoor.com.
Garage door jamming? Time to call Hammond.
Okay, we're back. Lines are open, 238-5775. Give me a call. Other things that Harris wanted to do. Well, she tried to get the Justice Department to basically control these recalcitrant parents and everyone else. If you disagree with climate change, disagree with her policies and anything else. She wanted to create a Bureau of Disinformation, basically a federal agency with responsibility for deciding what is acceptable and what is not acceptable to go on the Internet, and presumably what you could say in public or even private. Back in World War I, President Wilson had 150,000 snitches out there in the country. He had another name for them. And their job was to report on people who were engaging in seditious talk, criticizing him or his policies and war policies. He put people in prison. One guy was put in prison for 10 years, or sentenced to 10 years, for basically criticizing President Wilson and his wartime policies in the sanctity of his own living room. One of his neighbors turned him in. He didn't get out of prison until after Wilson was out of office. 1922. But she wanted a Bureau of Disinformation. They want the government to tell you what you can say and what you can't say. You got Minnesota Governor Tim Walz, her vice president's running mate, make the statement, there's no guarantee for free speech when it comes to, quote, misinformation or hate speech. Now, the problem with that is that's exactly what the First Amendment's there to protect, is speech that the government or anybody else doesn't like. Short of an actual terrorist threat, a specific violence and the intent to carry it out, you can say virtually anything you want about anybody. And believe me, in the 1980s, the left had no qualms about saying really terrible things about a lot of people that they didn't like, including slandering religious groups and everything else. They do it all the time, and it's okay when they do it, but well, they don't want anybody to criticize them. They can't handle it. Thin-skinned people they are. Harris once promised to bypass Congress and sign an executive order seizing firearms from millions of law-abiding Americans. The Second Amendment's still there, still part of the Constitution, and this Supreme Court has repeatedly stood up for the original intent of the Second Amendment, making it a personal right for the first time, because people for a long time kind of squishy, what does the Constitution mean? That is what the courts basically decide, and the 19th century didn't have any problem with that. In the 20th century, they kind of went the other way and says, well, you don't have this, you can't do that, you can't do this. And the court finally came back and said, no, that's not what it meant. It meant what it says. You have a right to keep and bear arms for your personal defense in your home, carry them with you, go places, not just to lock them up, disassemble in a vault, and someone's coming through the window, you have to figure out how to reassemble your weapon and everything else and get it out of your lock safe. That's not what the Second Amendment's about. But anyway, she wants to seize your guns by executive order. Now, she backed tracks and says, I won't really do that, just kidding. Better believe her, when they say these things, they're saying what they really believe and that they want to do. She just needs the right political conditions to do it. And you know, that's how every totalitarian, authoritarian, fascist government gets their power. They discredit the courts, they subvert the legislative branches, and ultimately they disarm the people. That's what happened to the people of Venezuela, and for the last almost 40 years now, 30 years at least, they've been living under the thumb of the brutal dictatorships, first of Chavez and then Maduro, who just lost an election and says, oh, I really won, and he stole the election, and nobody's making him leave power. And he's impoverished that country. And you know why you have Venezuelan street gangs in American cities? Because tens of thousands of Venezuelans have left. And Maduro is emptying his prisons, just like Trump says, and he's sending the worst of the worst up here. And according to the FBI and other federal law enforcement agencies, they have established Colorado as their home base, in part because of their sanctuary city policies, the benefits they get, and the centrality of the location of the country. And there's over 600 of them in the country, 100 of them positively being identified as, no question about it, they are badass. I can't even pronounce the name of these guys. They're some of the worst gangs in Venezuela. They're here, and they're expanding, and they're vicious. They're so vicious that black street gangs in some of our cities are scared of them because they are so violent, the things that they'll do. But anyway, Harris supports these people. She basically says these things are okay, and she doesn't care about a legislative filibuster or overriding slim majority. She backs bills that overturn thousands of state laws. Now, when they overturned Roe versus Wade, that just put abortion back to the states. People in Tennessee, they want more restrictive abortion laws. So you can get an abortion here pretty much as anywhere else, just not for as long as during the pregnancy. I think in California, it's right up to the 9th month. She wants to take every state law and trash it. Your vote should not count. She should decide. Her minions should decide. Her court appointees should decide, not you. I look at that and I say, what's wrong with democracy? You know, you want to live your way, your life one way. Somebody wants to live your life a different way. Nobody's denied the right to an abortion for the health of the mother, the life of the mother, for rape or for incest. There's not a single state that does that or can do that, because the court said, if you do that, we're going to overturn your law. So that's what she wants to do. But she wants to basically make abortion legal until crowning, when the baby's literally emerging from the womb, compel local religious hospitals to perform gender transition surgery, shut down religious foster care organizations, and destroy the Supreme Court. She wants to pack the court. That hasn't happened since the 1930s, but she does not believe in the Constitution, except the Constitution that she writes for her purposes and her political goals. And that's a real problem. That's called being an authoritarian. I'm not going to say she's a fascist, but she is adopting the same principles the Democratic Party and Progressive Movement adopted, you know, 100 years ago when fascism was finally getting a name. Well, we got our music coming on. You guys didn't call me, and I'll have to tell you what What's black and brown looks good on lawyers when we come back, and that'll be about 8 or 9 minutes from now. So I'll be back shortly, and please give me a call.
AM 1230 KPRL, 99.3 FM, KPRL.com, Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.
It's 1 o'clock.